Okay, the book of Judges is the second of the historical books that we have segmented in the Old Testament canon. 39 books in that canon, from Joshua through Esther, is what we call the historical books of Israel. Arthur Kundel once wrote this concerning the book of Judges. He said, "There is much in Judges to sadden the heart of the reader. Perhaps no book in the Bible witnesses so clearly to our human frailty, but there are also unmistakable signs of the divine compassion and long-suffering of God. As the lives of these lesser saviors or leaders are considered, there may be a realization of the need in modern times of a greater savior of unblemished life who is able to effect a perfect deliverance not only in time but also for eternity," unquote, Arthur Kundel. And this disciple here agrees with that. I believe the first eight chapters of the book of Romans, which is called the ABCs of the Christian faith, could be possibly summated in this statement, and that is that we can never begin to grasp the height of his redemption in Christ for us unless we also realize and begin to understand the depth of our own depravity. At one juncture in the book of Judges, we read this in chapter 10, verse 16 of Judges. It says, "And they put away the strange gods from among them," Israel apparently repented, "and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel." Now that could be a verse that we could meditate on. Even though he forgave them, they still had to reap what they had sown in sinning against the Lord, which is exactly what we see throughout Scripture. Galatians 6:7 says, "Whatsoever a man be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And then verse 8, "For he that soweth to the flesh, to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." What we read in chapter 5, verse 2 should also be of special note, saints. Judges 5:2, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves." When we willingly offer ourselves to God, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, he will avenge us of our enemies. Isn't it interesting that this is a summation of the beginning and the end of Romans chapter 12, where the chapter begins with presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, our bodies before the Lord, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it as that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then it ends with a passage beginning in verse, I would say 14, about blessing those who curse you, and also recompensing or repaying no man evil for evil, and not to avenge ourselves. He says, "Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." In verse 19 of Romans 12. And so we see this throughout the book of Judges and the historical books of the Old Testament, where God's people sinned against him, and then at periods of time and at certain times they would turn themselves back to him, and he would punish their enemies. And as we just reviewed, the New Testament teaches us that we should stay before the Lord after being born again, to abide or remain in Christ as the first love of our lives. Now, the unique place in the canon of scriptures that Judges holds is God bringing strength out of human weakness is uniquely chronicled in this fascinating book of Judges. In fact, in a sense, the book of Judges is a commentary on the three verses. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame or confound the things that are mighty. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll take a look at that, verse 27 through 29, where we find written, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Amen. For example, in Judges, Ehud was a left-handed Benjamite in chapter 3, the left hand being thought of as weaker than the right. Shamgar used an ox goad, a rather disreputable weapon, with which he slew 600 enemies in chapter 3, verse 31. Deborah was a member of the, quote, weaker vessel, female, 1 Peter 3, in chapter 4 through 5. Barak's 10,000 foot soldiers were a poor match, humanly speaking, for Sisera's 900 iron chariots in chapter 4. Jael, also a member of the weaker sex, female, killed Sisera by driving a tent pin through his skull in chapter 4, verse 21. That's a fascinating account. She held the pin with her left hand in chapter 5, verse 26, which was, again, believed to be the weaker hand. But when we are weak, then are we strong. Amen? As the New Testament accounts, Gideon marched against the enemy with an army which the Lord had reduced from 32,000 to 300 in chapter 7. Wow. Barley bread, the food of the poor, suggests poverty and feebleness in chapter 7 of Judges. The unconventional weapons of Gideon's army were earthenware pitchers, torches, and trumpets in chapter 7. And the pitchers had to be smashed. Amen. We have to be broken before the Lord. We have to be crucified and dead and buried and raised up. He will raise us up as we consent, as he's instructed, to our own dying, death, and burial. Amen. Romans 6, etc. Abimelech in the book of Judges was felled by a woman's hand hurling a piece of millstone in chapter 9. The name Tola, T-O-L-A, means worm in chapter 10, verse 1. When we meet Samson's mother, she is a nameless, barren woman. Chapter 13 accounts. And Samson, who was born of her, killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey in chapter 15 of the book of Judges. And the book of Judges is attributed to the authorship of Samuel by most. And the date it was written is approximately or around and about 1000 BC. Okay, we'll talk a little bit about the background and the theme of the book of Judges, which spans 21 chapters just after the book of Joshua. The book of Judges takes up the history of the nation of Israel after Joshua's generation had died. The people had failed to drive out the heathen inhabitants of Canaan completely. In fact, they had mingled with the pagans and were practicing idolatry. As a result, God repeatedly delivered his people into the hands of Gentile oppressors, as we read throughout the book of Judges. This servitude brought the Jews to the place of repentance and contrition. Now, does it sound like our lives a little bit, saints, or at certain times of our lives, we've had to be judged or receive reaping for the sins we had committed, which hopefully brought us to the feet of the cross where Jesus redeemed us by his blood? Might there be someone listening today who would hearken to the voice of and the call of the Lord, who would say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." My yoke, and then he finishes by saying, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11:28-30. Amen. Okay, continuing with the background and the theme of the book of Judges, when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord to deliver them, he raised up judges. It is from these leaders that the book gets its name. In chapter 17, verse 6, there's a notable verse in the book of Judges which says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Isn't it a blessing that we have the King of Kings as our king, and he is the captain of our salvation? He is our Lord, our Master, and our Savior, our first love, the one we live to please, who gave us life out of death. Amen. Jesus Christ. The events in the book of Judges span about 325 years, from Othniel to Samson. The judges were military leaders rather than simply jurists. By heroic deeds and faith, they executed God's judgment or overthrew their oppressors, thereby restoring a measure of peace and freedom to the people. 12 judges were raised up to deliver Israel. Some are given extensive coverage in the book, while others are mentioned in only one or two verses. These judges came from 9 different tribes and delivered their people from the Mesopotamians, the Moabites, Philistines, Canaanites, Midianites, and Ammonites. No judge ruled over the entire nation until Samuel. The book of Judges is not strictly chronological. The first 2 chapters contain introductory material, both historical and prophetical. The record of the judges themselves is from chapter 3 through 16 of this 21-chapter book and is not necessarily chronological. Some of the judges may have been conquering their enemies at the same time, but in different sections of the land. This is important to remember, since the number of years mentioned in this book of Judges, if added consecutively, totals over 400, which is more time than the Bible allots for this period. The closing chapters 17 through 21 of Judges, record events that took place during the time of the judges, but they're placed at the end of the book to give a picture of the religious, moral, and civil corruption in Israel during this period. The character of the times is well described in the key verse, chapter 17, verse 6, which we read just a moment ago, where everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. Now, if we believe that every word of God is pure and that all Scripture is profitable, then it follows that Judges contains important spiritual themes and lessons for us. Some of these lessons are hidden in the names of Gentile oppressors and the judges who delivered Israel. The oppressors pictured the powers of this world that seek to bring God's people into bondage. The judges symbolize the means by which we fight the spiritual warfare. In our comments, we have included some practical applications, many taken from old classic works. Okay, now concerning the special features of this book of Judges, there are six of them. Number one, it records events in Israel's turbulent history between the conquest of Palestine and the beginning of the monarchy. Number two of the six features that are special in Judges, it underscores three simple but profound truths. Number one, or A, to be God's people means that God must be king and lord of his people. B, sin is always destructive to God's people. And C, when God's people humble themselves, pray, and turn from their wicked ways, he will hear from heaven and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The third special feature of the book of Judges, it emphasizes that whenever Israel lost sight of her identity as a covenant people under God's kingship, the nation plunged into repeated cycles of spiritual, moral, and social chaos, with every man doing that which was right in his own eyes. The fourth special feature of Judges is that it reveals several often repeated patterns that occur in the history of God's people under the both covenants. A, unless God's people give ear and give him their whole heart in loving obedience and diligent spiritual vigilance, their hearts become hardened and unresponsive to God, leading to backsliding and eventually apostasy, or departing from the Lord, which we're warned about often in the New Covenant scriptures. Also, God is long-suffering, and whenever his people cry out to him in repentance, he is merciful to restore them by raising up spirit-endowed or spirit-empowered individuals to deliver them from the oppressive judgment of sin. Also in Judges, the very anointed leaders whom God uses to deliver his people often become corrupt themselves because of a fundamental deficiency in humility, character, and righteousness. All right, the fifth of the six special features of the book of Judges is the six major cycles in the book involving, here it is, apostasy, oppression, distress, and deliverance all begin in the same way. Quote, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 11, and chapter 3, verse 7, record of the book of Judges. All right, and the last of the special features we can behold in Judges is the book reveals that God used foreign nations more evil than his own people in order to judge the latter for their sins, and to bring about repentance and revival. Only this intervention of God kept Israel from completely being absorbed by their paganism, or the paganism that was all around them, I should say. And some would call this redemptive withdrawal, where God removes his hand so that judgment can come on his people in order to get them to turn back to him. There's an example in 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 2, where there's a fornicator, and the body of Christ was to turn him over to Satan, which they did, for the destruction of his flesh that his soul may be saved, and it worked. God did that out of his mercy, and God will do that in our lives if we refuse to repent. We don't seek him. We don't diligently pursue him and make him the first love of our lives. Okay, and as we close here, the New Testament fulfillment that we see in Judges, the book of Judges reveals an enduring divine principle. When God uses a person greatly in his service, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. At the outset of Jesus' ministry, the Spirit descended upon him at baptism, there in chapter 3 of the book of Luke and the book of Matthew, as it records. Before ascending to the Father, Jesus instructed his disciples to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1. The reason given was that they would receive power when the Holy Ghost came upon them to be witnesses, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and chapter 4, verse 33. under both covenants, God's way of overthrowing the enemy and advancing his kingdom is by the energy, strength, and power of the Holy Spirit working through yielded, crucified, obedient human vessels. Amen. God bless you, friend. Thank you for listening.